like to introduce our first speaker. This is Lavoris K. from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Good morning, family. Just for today, I can be considered a grateful, recovering, blessed, and dramatic addict. My name is Lavoris. You know, my home group back in Fort Lauderdale, before we introduce our speaker, we read the last paragraph before step one, and I like to do that at this time. It says, as a result of attending a few meetings, we begin to feel like we finally belong somewhere. It is in these meetings that we are introduced to the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. We learn to work the steps in the order that they are written and to use them on a daily basis. The steps are our solution. They are our survival kit. They are our defense against addiction, which is a deadly disease. The steps are our defense against addiction, which is a deadly disease. Our steps are the principles that make our recovery possible. And the topic is, the lie is dead. We do recover. The devil is a liar. You know, I looked at the chapter 8 talks about we do recover, and I gotta say, I've noticed in the readings we now have that green one, which talks about we do recover, you know, and that's nice to have that introduced. You know, some groups read it before, during, after, I guess it don't matter. We getting it in there, and it's important. And it talks about when at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs. We all face the same dilemma. You know, and it talks about the jails, institutions, and death. But what stuck out for me was, once an addict, always an addict, will no longer be tolerated by either society or the addict himself. We do recover. That's the bottom line. You know. And I know it's not always the meeting that I make, it's the steps that I take. You know, it's how I show up. And sometimes I show out. You know, and I just pray that this morning God speaks to me and through me so I can give somebody some hope. You know it's not about me. I don't want to sound profound. I didn't go look up the words in the dictionary. You know, I just know that I got a story. You know, nobody can tell it like I can tell it. You know, sometimes my delivery may not be like I want it to be. Because I do want to sound profound. Especially, I feel like I'm out with the big dogs. You know, I saw them, I'm like, oh, damn. Why they do a sister like this? But you know what? It's obviously somebody saw something. And I thank my girl Carol and the committee for this opportunity. You know. And I done prayed. You know, she was like, you need to go pray? No, I done that. I feel like I'm prayed up now. You know, and I don't know what I'm going to say. You know. But no matter what, we recover. You know, and just to qualify, because sometimes I feel I need to qualify, you know. And I used to think that I didn't have a story, you know, because I didn't eat out of the dumpsters, and I wasn't on the stroll or 14th or whatever street they was on, you know. But I heard somebody say it. A lot of things I'm going to say this morning, you know what, I ain't make none of this stuff up. If you're looking for something unique or something profound, it ain't, probably won't come from me. Okay, but I also learned that I was no better than and I was no less than, you know, and I also realized that those of you, my predecessors, or how they call them, successors, you know, some of them just got here before me, you know, and I had to let you guys down off them pedestals that I put y'all on, you know, and I know now that time don't equal recovery, you know, and it's obvious that each and every one of us has a story. Now, however we tell it is up to us. But for me, I was sipping at 7. I was basing in 79, you know, and I had an opportunity to dust myself off and try to do the right next thing. You know, I had the pleasure of going into the military and trying to learn a little something, something, and try to travel and go somewhere and do some things. But no matter what, you know, I picked up right back where I left off at. And I gotta tell you, this is my first introduction to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, sometimes I feel like I don't have a story because I didn't get to go to treatment, you know. I didn't get to live in the three-quarter way, halfway, whatever them houses were, you know. I didn't even get to detox, you know, but somehow I wound up in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and from that very first day, I remember I was in the fetal position. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I just wanted to come out the bathroom, okay? And I just wanted to put that little glass stem down. I got to tell you, I got here at 38, and you could not tell me the alcohol was a drug. I was like, what you talking about? Y'all lying. Oh, man, y'all just like, I was devastated, you know, because I was sipping on gin and juice. You know, the Welsh people... I remember being in Southwest Wales, and they was like, oh, Lavordis, you're happy and drink. You know, because we used to be at the pub, and I'd just be, like, getting down, you know, and then I get busy. I want to be the life of the party, and, you know, I could not imagine my life without a drink. You know, I knew I can do without the drugs, but a drink? Come on. You know, where I come from, alcohol was a beverage. That's it. It was a beverage. You went to church on Sunday, the store opened at 12 o'clock, and just tell Miss Lou that Grandma said to get the six-pack. Okay, even if we didn't have the money, Grandma was going to pay her later, you know. And I remember they called it mind sweeping. You know, when folk come over and they be sipping, and it was like Schaefer back then. You know, and they leave their cup, and then here I come. Yeah, but I also remember when I was 7 and I began to sip and I wanted to just be outside myself and I didn't want to feel the pain and I didn't understand that my mother had died as a result of this disease. You know, I just knew that she came home that day and that man gave me 50 cents and told me, like, run along, like, shoot. You know, and I did that. You know, and until I began to work the steps and realize, you know, I thought for the longest time or for the time that I've been here that, you know, my mother died because of something that I had done. You know, but what happened was she came home in the wee hours of the morning, you know, hanging out, doing whatever it was that she was doing. And you know what? The next day, somebody was walking their dog, and they found her laying there, side of our home. She obviously didn't do what the man wanted her to do. I don't know. Or maybe he just felt compelled to push her off that roof, you know. And she lived. But by the time she got to Kings County, you know, she didn't make it, you know. And I remember shortly thereafter that I got some pills and it was like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to live. I want to go be with my mama now. I don't want to do this no more. And my grandmother said, you better get your ass up. You going to school, you know. So I realized I didn't even have time to grieve. We had to handle our business. We had to suit up and show up. You going to school. You getting up out of him, is what she told me. And I remember even graduating from high school, I did not think I was college material. I wanted to hang out with Jeff, and I was in the club, and I was trying to smoke Newports, trying to drop it like it's hot, and, you know. She was like, uh-uh, baby girl, you need to pack your stuff. Here's your one-way ticket. And she got me up out of New York, and that was probably one of the best things she could have did for me. You know, so I had some opportunities in life, but the reality was I could not stop and stay stopped. I didn't know how. You know, and I learned it back in the day. They talked about Alcoholics Anonymous, but none of us, we weren't going to no meetings. You know, and we just did what we did. You know, and eventually, I decided I'm going to do this geographical thing. I got to get up out of D.C. Ain't nothing happening here. You know, I done served the military, and, you know, I came back to where it all started for me. And I went by my aunt's place, and I'm wondering what's going on and what she doing and why she won't come out the basement. You know. Next thing you know, I'm down in the basement. And I'm hot, like, where the kids at? Oh, they can't see me. No, they can't, you know? But I was right back where I left off at. You know, just trying to hang, just trying to be a part of. You know, and then I wanted to people please. And then I must have had sucker written on my forehead. Because she used to say, yeah, my niece here, y'all come on in. And everybody, you know, she just put me out there like that. Just so we can get some more. You know what? And I was okay with that. Because I knew one of these days, that I couldn't do this. You know, I was a productive member of society. I was showing up for work, you know, but then I got busy. And let me tell you, I had to quit this job, but they was like sending me to Japan and shit, and I'm like trying to get high. I can't get high in Japan. It's like, I got the hair up home. You know, they had that yaki-yaki, whatever that was, but that wasn't enough. I wanted a hit, you know. So when my uncle picked me up at the airport, it's like, okay, bring me this, that, this how much I got. You know, and I would find that I'd be in the bathroom till time to go to work again on Monday. You know, if I ran out on Sunday. And I remember, I called my aunt like, damn, I'm tired. I don't want to do this no more. Then I couldn't understand, like, why I can't go to sleep. She's like, that's your disease. And I thought, oh, my God. Did I get it from your house? It's like, do I got to take another shower? How do you make it go away? I just wanted to sleep. You know, I just wanted to come down. I wanted to just, like, move right along. And it wasn't that easy. It was not that easy. And she told me, you know, you're going to be all right. You know, till I get a couple more dollars and come back over so she can go for the run. And then by the time she come back, I said, that's all we get for our money? Duh. Man, they saw me coming. But you know what? That was then and this is now. See, you can't pull the wool over me now. You got to show it to me in the literature or I need to, you know. If I hit a couple times, it, you know, I take a look at it. But long story short, you know what? I decided that I was tired and I didn't want to do this no more. And I got a truck and put my car in the back and said, you know what? I got a relative that lives in South Florida. I'm going to Florida. And, you know, my aunt was like, what you going there for? I said, I'm going to go do the right thing. I'm going to get a job and, you know, I just want to get up out of here. You know, I didn't want to do the snow no more. You know, the man in my life at that time was like getting ready to retire and all I could see was him sitting there with the remote control. You know, and he told me he wasn't working for nobody. And I'm like, you ain't got to go to work, but you got to get up out of him. You know, and he's successful today. I got to say, he is a successful person today, but I wasn't taking a risk. You know, nobody laying up in my house and not going to work, and I got to go to work. You know, so I decided to get the truck, and I moved to South Florida. You know, and I couldn't find where this uncle was located. You know, but I found his ex-wife, and I was welcome to stay there. And I counted the days. You know, it was like 60-something days. I couldn't have a bed, couldn't smoke cigarettes. They was kind of holier than thou. And, you know, I got through that, and I got a job. And, you know, I found my uncle. And I used to drive in this area called Pompano Beach looking for Joe. You know, anybody know Joe? You know, they looking at me like, girl, you better go ahead. You know what? But I found him. And lo and behold, my Uncle Joe was a drug dealer. And I was like, damn, this can't be happening. You know, yet I had still don't know nothing about Narcotics Anonymous. But I know I don't want to use no more. I know the last couple of times, you know, I go get a little something for him and then go home. And then, you know, then now I'm calling little jits on the bike so they can deliver. I ain't got to go outside. I ain't got to go nowhere. They going to bring it to me. Next thing I know, that little boy said, I need to stay here with you. No, you don't. You got to go. There's somebody in the other room, you know. But I knew I couldn't do this thing no more. I just didn't want to do it no more. And I picked up the phone, and they told me to go to a meeting. I'm like, what that is? You know, I'm like, how do I get there? What do I wear? You know, I want to wonder what I got to wear. You know, what I got to bring with me. You know, but she said, just go to a meeting, you know, and I kind of got it together. And I remember I sat like on the side, like in the third row. And, you know, they asked, is there anybody new? And, you know, and I remember this guy, Bob, gave me this basic text. And, you know, he later autographed it years ago. And he says, Lavoris, always thought you were beautiful as any woman I had ever seen. It was your tears that made me decide to give you this basic text. And I'm so glad. It might be the best $8 I ever spent. You are a light in recovery. And I'm proud to have been even the smallest part. I hope you always have known something in your recovery. Love, Bob. You know, and you can tell me, that boy ain't want my phone number. That's why he gave me this book, y'all. He just wanted my number. He was going to try to get with me, you know. And after that meeting, they said, we're going to another meeting. You want to go? I was like, yeah, I want to go. And I pick up that white key tag, and they started clapping. Oh, it was on. you know, I felt like a part of, you know? And I got a sponsor in like 72 hours. I ain't waste no time. I got a sponsor because I knew I couldn't do this thing by myself, you know? And the sponsor that I got was the first black thing moving, you know? And then she was from New York. I was like, oh, you my sponsor? She says, well, I only got a year and I've, that's enough. You can do this. I'm your first, yeah, I'll probably be your last because we got to take applications if you want to get anybody else. You know, because it was all about me. And you know what? Y'all told me the newcomer was the most important person at any meeting. And let me tell you, I took that and I ran with it. Okay? I didn't care about your kids, your husband, your none of that. If I did a feeling and I called you, you was going to stop and help me. You know, you was going to meet me at the next meeting, you know. And then I wound up doing service, you know. And that kept me clean because I couldn't use to that next meeting. And they only met one day a week. So I had to get through that weekend, you know. And this woman broke her ankle. She was like, here's the key. And you got to pick up Scotty to make the coffee. And you hold the money. I'm like, oh, damn. You know, and I must have had like 6 months. I'm like, okay, I can do this. You know, and I showed up, and then eventually I saw this woman. I'm like, wait, I thought your leg was broken. You couldn't come up the steps to get to the meeting. You need to come back and get these keys now. But it kept me clean, you know, and no matter what, I just don't use. You know, I got from one meeting to the next meeting, you know, and I know they say joy comes in the morning, but a lot of times I had to get through the night. You know, I had to realize I was in South Florida. There was no family there. And these people in Narcotics Anonymous just told me, keep coming back. I ain't had to bring nothing. You know, and that third tradition said the only requirement for membership is a desire. You know, and I know back in the days, y'all old times, it was an honest desire. But y'all done away with that, and that was all right. You know, just a desire. You know, and I realized, and somebody said recently, why would anybody... If you're sitting here today, please understand that if you are here in this 12-step program, you need to be willing to work the 12 steps. You know, like I said, it's not the meetings I make, it's the steps that I take. You know, it's living these principles on a day-to-day basis, in and outside the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. It's like when life shows up, they ain't tell you what it's going to show up. It wasn't going to be hunky-dory. You had to put your seatbelt on. You was in for a hell of a ride. And just hold on. And you know what? I did that. And I am so grateful for the foundation that I have. You know, because that allowed me to get through some of the things that I had to get through. You know, they talk about the miracle. Any addict clean is a miracle. You know, any addict is a miracle. You know, We Do Recover also talks about, in our recovery, we find it essential to accept reality. And that's what I need to just talk about, reality. You know what? Stuff gonna happen. It has happened to me. You know, ever since I was a little girl and just reflection on that day when that man pushed my mama, everything that I've gone through has gotten me to where I'm at today. And you know what? I have to be okay with that. I have to accept everything, anything, exactly the way it is. And I know today that no matter what it looks like and what it feels like, it's going to be all right. Okay. You know what? And I don't know what your it is, but I want to tell somebody it's going to be okay. You know, and I remember in 2004, you know, because when I got clean, March 13th, 1999, I just celebrated 8 years. Yeah. And I cannot tell you, I have not found it necessary to use. I just chose not to use. That's it. I make a conscious decision every day when I get up, not only not to use, but the type of person that I am, I choose to be happy. You know, and I know misery loves company. And if you ain't got nothing nice to say or nothing conducive to my recovery, I'd really rather not do you. That's just where I'm at. I have a, it's called PMA, y'all. It's a positive mental attitude. You know, that's what I'm working with today. And there's one other thing that some people would know me as, and it's called, and it's not in the dictionary, so y'all ain't got to look it up. Okay? It's called conflama. Conflama. That's conflict and drama. Okay? They talking about save the drama for your mom. No, just no conflama. And that's where I'm at. I am so, so blessed. You know, I tell myself that I'm too blessed to be stressed. And I know that my God ain't giving me nothing that I can't handle. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I tell you, what happens to me is I had to learn how to lower my expectations, and that would raise my reality. Man, that's it? Lower my, help me out, girl. And raise my acceptance or my serenity. Okay, but I need to tell y'all that since I've been in this recovery process, I had to battle breast cancer. And you know what? When I went and they was like, is there anybody here with you today? It's like, no, I don't need nobody with me. I can, you know, I'm big girl. I'm doing big girl stuff now. I done got clean and worked a couple of steps. You know, and there was nobody there with me, but they got the nurse and they came in, they held my hand, they got the tissue, and they was like, okay, this is what we need to do. It's almost like in this program, there's some things, some folk that have already gone through this process. And you know what? And because we share about the exact nature, I knew who to call, you know. So I handled my business. I showed up there just like I show up here in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I was able to do the chemotherapy. You know, I was able to do some other procedures. And you know, I didn't realize that that other procedure that we women do is like a total castration. I never looked at it like that. But you know what? They told me unless I wanted some more cancer, I needed to do this thing. And guess what? No matter what, I did what I needed to do. I handled my business. I pick up the phone. I call somebody. You know, I remember doing chemotherapy playing tic-tac-toe. That's what I did during chemo. Tic-tac-toe. Okay? I mean, if I look and stay in reality, the reality was I got something that I can't handle. I can't, but I know God can. You know, I had to stop depending on y'all and depend on my God. You know, it was real simple. You know, if you just get that moment of clarity and you know what that right next thing is, because if I would have went and got high, I wasn't going back to the doctor. I wouldn't be standing here now because I'd be busy trying to really, really kill myself. You know, but cancer don't spell death. You know, and sometimes I'm like, how you like me now? You know, and I just told them do what they had to do. They gave me some new ones. I got some cleavers. I ain't getting no complaints. You know? It's all good. But you know what I realized most importantly is that I had to go through that to be able to help somebody else. That's the bottom line. Just to help somebody else. I know it ain't about me. But like I said, the lie is dead. We do recover. It's not just the meeting we make. It's the steps that we take. You know, it's one day at a time. If you got to break it down to the hour, to the minute, or to you, somebody call you back, and you know what, so don't wait for nobody call you back, you'll be in trouble. Okay? But it's dependence on that high power. You know, God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. You know, and I'm truly blessed. I'm a grateful, recovering, dramatic addict. My name is Lavoris.
Our second speaker will be Anthony P. from Atlanta.
Oh, Amy, who are these people?
Huh?
Who are these people?
Them people.
Them people.
Oh, that's just my network.
All right.
I'm Anthony P. and I'm an addict. I'd like to thank God. I'd like to thank God for waking me up this morning clean with a little serenity. And I haven't found it necessary to use all day. And for that, I'm grateful, y'all. I'm just looking at all these old beautiful people out here, and I'm just, oh, man, y'all look great. Y'all some of the most beautiful, finest people on this side of California. You know, oh, boy, your dope feet show look good. man, look here. I am so happy, man, just to look at y'all like this, man. Because it used to be like this. Daddy, I'm hungry. I know, but I need one more. Oh, boy, if you'll pay the mortgage, you got to get out of here. Oh, I know, but I need one more. Babe, I'm out to leave you if you keep spending all the money. Oh, babe, I know. But I need one more. But I came to a place where y'all said, I know, but you don't need no more. No. They said the lie's dead. We do recover. Check this out. Y'all looking at old Anthony P. And in Atlanta, they call me the Big Daddy. So Big Daddy finna tell y'all about old Anthony P. How about that? Check this out. I'm the one that spent all his money to peep out the motherfucking windows. Check this out. I messed around and got clean and found out peeping out the windows was free. So every now and then, when I'm at the house by myself, I ease up to the window. Check my motherfucking pockets, boy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, because we do recover. We do recover. Because when I got here, I ain't know who I was, man. I thought I was the Mac, Dolomite, Peter Wheatstraw, and Superfly, and J.D. Walker. They say, you something else. I say, yeah, mean Jesus. They say, Big Daddy, what's happening with you? I say, you know, I'm in the mean. I'm saying, you know, I'm the sweet Peter Skeeter, the super pussy mistreater, sometimes the eater, yes, indeeder, and always the backbone beater. And my father said, what the hell they got to do with recovery? I said, hell, I don't know. Couldn't figure out for nothing in the world why every time I shed, the whole room screamed, I keep coming back. I said, damn, you know, every time I shed, motherfucker won't tell me to keep coming back. You know what I'm saying? But I kept coming, man. And I just kept on coming. Because even the Mac can recover in Narcotics Anonymous. Even on Peter Wheatstraw, the devil's son-in-law can recover and knock out his numbers. You know what? I'm not a morning person, man. I didn't even realize this many people wake up in the morning this early. So she gonna tell me 10:30 in the morning, man. 10:30 in the morning. And what's your name again? Baby, y'all gotta hear this shit. What's your name, baby? Delicious. Her name Delicious. God damn it. I don't know. Hey, baby, if you were my girl, you got a name like that, I don't know if I can get mad at you and shit. I ought to call you D. How you gonna get mad at Delicious? You know? Shit. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, old Big Daddy. We do recover, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because check this out, man. I'm not a step away from using. I'm 12 steps away from using. There's a lot of things that this dope fiend got to do wrong, man, to go pick up again. I can't just wake up. after putting this kind of work in and go use. Because it's like this, man. When I pick up, man, I ain't shit on dope, man. I'm not a father to my kids. I'm not a son to my mother. I'm not a brother to my sister. I'm not a friend to a friend. I don't want nothing but one more, man. Obsession. A fixed idea. Once I get it stuck up here, I can't let it go. Compulsion. Once I start to act, I can't stop. And spiritually, I'm totally self-centered. All right, check this out. Y'all, so why the joke got all them rings on? Well, I got a fixed idea. In child support, we do, but I needed a ring, y'all. It was time to pay the mortgage. I needed a ring, y'all. Oh, my girl wanted a little paper, but ring, 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 y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I got caught up. So I like wearing my rings, man, because it reminds me every day who I am. How I don't know how to do one. One is too many, and a thousand is never, ever enough for a dope fiend. Never enough. I'm going to tell y'all this. Check this out. I got 12 kids and 8 baby mamas. I was in great need for a 12-step program. And you know, and I'm going to tell you, we talking about we do recover, right? I was dating a woman 14 years ago. I had 2 years clean. She had a 2-year-old baby. And I loved this baby so much. Even when the relationship was over. Now already a father at that particular time of 10. So I really need to say 13 babies. And 9 baby mamas, even though this was not my biological kid. Something on the inside of me and my God said she ain't got a father. So what I'm going to do, Big Daddy, I'm going to give you another girl. And through this process, I never ever been to jail because of child support. My baby mamas ain't got to be hoes and bitches. They went hoes and bitches when we were sticking and licking and sucking and, you know, none of that. So why would they be hoes and bitches today? They ain't none of that. They bad my kids, yo. A whole lot of them bad my kids, yo. I heard a brother say he had 2 kids under me before. I said, 2? 2? You ain't got but 2. He said 2 like he was saying, you know, 2. But when you recover, see, when I used to walk up into the driveway when I was using, and I went to the house, and Daddy came home, everybody in the house, oh, here come this motherfucker. Hey. Notice I said when I used to walk up into the driveway. But we do recover, right? So when I drive up in the driveway today, and ain't no daddy outside, what you hear is boom, bam, slam, because daddy's at home. They know something good finna happen. See, God, in the second tradition, they said we was thrust in here. See, thrust don't mean go in there. You guys just walk up with me there. It means get your. You know what I'm saying? That's what it means. Together, man. Together. I went on a 12-step call not long ago. You know when the dope fiend go out, they don't say, you know they went back out there. They went back out there. Yeah, they back out there. No, we don't say it like that. Hey, dog, you know they back out there. She ain't going back out there, did she? Yeah, she back out there. What's she out there? What's out there? Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. I'm from Atlanta, right? I go on a 12-step call not too long ago. I'm 6'1", 300 pounds, right? And with no lions It was no tigers. It was no bears. It was Dracula, Frankenstein, Godzilla. Hey, look at you there. All of them was out there, right? Hey, them motherfuckers were walking toward me and shit. I was like a little bitch. I said, I got to get back to the car. Hey. I swear to God, motherfucker weighed about 102 pounds. That motherfucker said, let me get $5. I said, I ain't got no $5. He said, what you mean you ain't got $5? I said, hell, dog, you can have the $5. Shit. That motherfucker turned me to a straight bitch. I don't need to go back out there. I've been cleaning a while now, man. Oh, shit. Hey, I got 911 on speed dial and shit, you know? Fuck with me, I'm calling the police. You know, I talk that shit, y'all know y'all scared of the po-po. Shit. You know what I mean? Motherfucker got, ain't been in jail a long time, got license and insurance and everything. Motherfucker, police pull you over, be like, what the fuck I'm dead now? You know what I'm saying? It's just something about them motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Hey, we do recover, y'all. I'm talking about we do recover. This is an inside job. This is, I'm gonna tell you something, quote unquote, the difference between an earth person and a dope fiend. An earth person will fall out the hole, man, brush themselves off and shit, and walk on and go on about their business. A dope fiend fall in the hole and decorate the motherfucker. And see what they decorated with. They decorated with shortcomings. They decorated with, I mean, you motherfucker have bees of procrastination. Have a stove of dishonesty. A rug of homungling. Yeah, I like that. Homungling. Homungling. See, you know what I'm saying? But I got some people in my life. When they see old Big Daddy fall in the hole, they walk over to the hole, man. And all the time, you're supposed to look down at a no-dove fiend if you're helping him up. And then I get old Big Dad out the hole, man. And when I come out the hole, man, you see that big motherfucker just straighten on up, man. You know what I mean? You get your back right in here. So if you're going through something, although it may be spiritual, physical, mental, financial, if you're in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, it just ain't that bad. It really ain't that bad, man. It's not that bad. Oh, but if you put a hit on top of it, oh yeah, it'd be that bad to the 57 power. You know, because I understand today, man, this ain't Crack Anonymous, man. But I'm a genuine crackhead, man. And you know what? Check this out, crackhead. Crackhead get out of work, man, it's about 6 o'clock, right? He got them $200-$300. He get ready to go cop. Still looking good, good, delicious. You know. He said, man, let me get 4 or 5 of them sacks, man. You know. He leave him come back, right? He get back, his shirt is out of his pants. It's half messed up and shit. Motherfucker say, let me get 2 more, dog. But not even an hour. Come back. Fucked up now. Motherfucker say, is it what you want, dog? What you say you want? Hey. Hey, check this out. If y'all ass laughing, y'all crack ass too. I'm so glad I ain't do no damn high ride, man. I would have probably ran to the window, and motherfuckers. I would have ran to the mirror, wouldn't have nodded, you know. Motherfucker went to the window and said, you know what I'm saying? But we do recover, y'all. We do recover, y'all. I'm telling my man, no matter where you go, man, no matter where you go, if you got this in your heart, man, see, because this is an inside job. This is not about a head job. This is about a heart job. See, what I'm living now is a success story. What I'm living now is a love story. Because y'all can identify, man, that Stephen King ain't got nothing on us, man. You know what I'm saying? The horrors of addiction, the shit that we live, man. You ask a dope fiend what's the worst thing they done been through and they clean today. They already done been through it if you're clean. You know what I'm saying? So if you go through something today, just know, look back and know that God's in charge. God's in charge. Because see, you've been charged with something if you made it here. You've been charged with something. Light and darkness cannot stay in the same room. Once the light come on, the darkness must go. I was sharing yesterday, man. It's an awful thing, man, when you look in the eyes of a user dope fiend. When you look in the eyes of a user dope fiend, man, you see the darkness, man. If you look at him, it's almost like there's no soul left in there. But if you look in the eyes of a recovering addict, man, or if you look in the eyes of a recovering addict, man, what you see is the light, man. You see the motherfucking light, man. Yeah. And when I look at y'all, I don't see nothing but light, man. I'm talking about you be thick and fine, short and fine, big and fine, just a whole lot of fine, fine motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? We do recover, man. We do recover. I got clean when I was 25 years old. I don't share this in the spirit of boosting the bragging. I'm 42 now. I picked up only one white key tag. I never been to treatment. And I never been to detox. So don't tell me. You really don't know where you at until the shit hit the fan. Oh, you can be a good sharing motherfucker when it's somebody else. You know when somebody, mama died, and you look at them and say, oh, you know they're in a better place. But your mama's still alive. You know, you've been on a job 20 years, man. 20 years, you lose your job. One door closed, another one open. But let it be you. Them motherfuckers don't tell you, man, when one door closed, another one open, that hallway is a bitch, man. You know what I'm saying? But let it be you. Oh, the kids acting crazy. Oh, girl, if I were you, I'd put them out. Motherfucker ain't got no kids. You know what I'm saying? Telling you to put them out. Ain't been married, period. Ain't got no man, ain't had now. Girl, for you, I'd leave that motherfucker. But let it be you. Be careful. In the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, what the hell you listen to? Don't just go for anything. Even newcomer, man, newcomer don't mean stupid comer. You know what I'm saying? As I can remember, check this out. I was on the podium somewhere some years back, man. I'm sharing my ass off, right? I need a newcomer loan. Yo, old timer, motherfucker, don't mess with that newcomer. And I'm talking that, oh yeah, that newcomer. I left, man. The same old me, and I just said, right? This newcomer caught my attention. She had a waist like a waltz and an ass like a horse. And see, I justified her being a newcomer because she had been around about 10 years. She hadn't put together a whole year yet. But, She really ain't no newcomer, you know. She by the time she got better, I was sick than a motherfucker and shit. That motherfucker broke Big Daddy ass back. Look at him. They were calling me Big Money Ant. When she got finished, it was small change, Tony. You know, and I share that to say, don't be in here talking about what you won't do. know that perfection is a character defect, that we will fall short any day. Some days, man, it's like I'm walking on water, man. I feel so spiritual. And I ain't talking about no frozen prawn. You know what I mean? I feel so spiritual. Some days the only thing that this dope fiend do right, the only thing is not used, man. I mean the only thing, man. This is not a place, man. This is about love. Love means to cherish, to adore, to trust. I cherish Narcotics Anonymous. I adore Narcotics Anonymous. I trust Narcotics Anonymous. But the adversary, he's so deep. He ain't got to go in the church or the stoop or the base house or the corner. He already got them, man. So he come to get us back, man. He come in the rooms and not call us the numbers, man, to try to use spiritual people against spiritual people. He trying to tear you down from the inside. From the inside. So ones who got time, man, you've been charged. You got a job to do. Please don't watch me die, man. Don't watch me die. And if Big Daddy ever go out, come get me, man. I done lost my motherfucking mind. Look, hey, I'm going to be in the house, and I'm going to be peeping out the windows. Hey, but I'm going to be in that motherfucker. Because this disease is so deadly, people with time would go out, and people say, don't tell nobody. Tell every motherfucker about it. You know that good sharing motherfucker don't want to use them dope, man. You know what I mean? Because I need help or something like that. It's a horrible thing, man, when somebody go back out there. When they go back out there, man, that's painful. And it really hurts when you sit in the rooms. And over the years, man, you watch people, you grow up with them. And I've seen some, I've been in a 12 o'clock meeting. And a girl shared a burning desire. And everybody tried to help her, but she said she got this thing. And by the 8 o'clock meeting, man, she was dead, man. She didn't even get a chance to cop, man. Somebody flexed and she went back, man, and they shot her in the head, man. I've been a pallbearer in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about soldiers, true soldiers. I'm talking about my predecessors, man, the Andres, the Thomas P's, the Camillas. Oh, I mean, I love them, man. These are the people that built this. These are the people that made sure that bridge was there. So how dare I look at people and say, well, I get that much time. Oh, you see how they act, man. They just tripping. I don't know why they act. Well, I get that much time. You know, motherfucker got a month clean. Talking about when I get 10 years. I was one of them talking about when I get that much time. Man, I got 10 years, man. I was crazy than any motherfucker I ever punched my fingers at, man. We do recover. I'm coming from the hill. I know I'm going to bring my bass to tech everywhere I go, man. I'm coming from the heart, man. Because I love y'all so much, man. Everybody know this one. It was a time in every dope fiend life in here. It was this time, man. When we're no more bargaining. When no more, God, if you do this for me. It was that time when you couldn't do nothing but look up. When you couldn't do nothing but say, God, please help me. And God, through his grace, and through his mercy. I'm talking about unmerited favor. I'm talking about I ain't do nothing to deserve this. If I would have got what I deserve. Oh man, if I would have got what I deserve. If this dope fiend would have got what he deserved. You know, I threw rocks at the penitentiary every day. Every day, man. You know, I one of them men see a 357 and say shit like, boy, it'd be nice to be took up by something like that. I was a sick man, man. And I was jacking my slacks, man. And even when I got to the rules of Narcotics Anonymous, man, see, everybody's story ain't the same either. Please, y'all, realize everybody's story is not the same. Somebody stole one of my cars, man. I came to the building, they had stole all my merchandise and everything, and I was all fucked up, you know, stole all my shit, and I was hurt, right? And I understand this material and all that, but I was hurting behind. Somebody came behind me talking about, well, you have to remember all the shit you stole. And I, motherfucker, that ain't my story. I ain't steal shit. I was too scared. You know what I'm saying? The hell, I'm a, what wrong with you, Delicious? Oh, don't you know you sent by Big Daddy from Atlanta? Oh. Hey, okay, yeah, go on a smile or something. You gonna let me know? Goddamn Delicious gonna let Big Daddy know. Shit. Yo, my baby gonna let everybody know. So I'm gonna leave you a little time so you can show. Hey, check this. Check this, y'all. Check this, check this, check this. I love you. I love you, sister. I love y'all so much because God loved me. See, see. Hey, when we got here and my family, you know, we drove into D.C. And it was a lot of dope fiends, man. And Dre, man, the banquet speaker, man. This motherfucker, he gonna get up tonight, y'all. Hey, make sure y'all there, man. I'm gonna be on the front row with his laptop ass. You know what that mean. You know, but look here, man. And we was trying to find this meeting in D.C., right? And they say it's on V. And we was on A. And so we was driving, right? And I think when we got close to V, I seen them dope fiends hanging out. They was all over the place. I said, there we go. Damn, motherfucker. When I see y'all, be happy to the motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Hey, and this ain't no reflection, because I'm going to tell you something. This ain't no color thing, period, right? This ain't no color thing. This is a deaf thing, right? But when I got clean, man, they should have had a big ass sign. I was like, we's free, boss. Come on. We's free, man. You ain't got to fight no more. All you got to do is surrender. The United States hit Hiroshima and Nagasaki in the 40s with an atom bomb. With an atom bomb. They surrendered to win. Now Japan damn near own the United States, man. You can't go nowhere in your house or no street that ain't something Japanese made. And here, that's what we do, man. We stop fighting, man. We got to stop backbiting. We got to stop putting daggers in the back. We got to stop. You know, I'm talking about, it's a hell of a thing, man, when somebody put something in your motherfucking back, turn that motherfucker and rip that bitch open, and you see them, hey, Anthony P. Yeah. And you know they just did it to you. But your heart have to hug them anyway. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to be big enough to realize that even whether it was intentionally or unintentionally, you probably don't did that same shit down the road. And God, he forgave you. So what? Why can't he forgive you? You know what I'm saying? And when you know that, and you put that step work in, man. When you put the step work in, sometimes, man, you don't be want to do the right thing and shit. You be want to buck and be nasty and mean and shit. The steps be kicking your ass. And it kick in. Because when I was a little kid, see, they said, you shouldn't feel that way. I had five sisters and a mother, right? And I would fall off my bicycle. And my, I have a knot on my head this big. And my arm is twisted behind me. And them ladies would run up to me and say, you're a man. You can't cry. I'm 6 years old, man. I got a brain tumor from that fall. And they say, you can't cry. And what I start doing, man, I stop feeling right then. I'm a man. I can't cry. I can't cry. Man, I got clean, man. I can't look at the goddamn news. I ain't looking at the news and shit. Man, they were ran over that baby. And they found that girl over there in the woods. It won't stop snowing over there. You know some of them people hold it. Fucking Katrina hit, man, I was devastated. I had to pray for 5 months. All that damn water. Can you imagine being a using Dauphine and Katrina and shit? Yeah, when it came out, I thought the world had it. We do recover, y'all. We do recover, y'all. I said we do recover, y'all. Yeah, we do recover, y'all. I'm gonna end by this, man. Two things. I like laughter. I love laughing. Because when I got clean, when shit funny. When nothing funny. Got mad because your ass was happy. Fuck you smiling at. You know, I'm serious as a motherfucker. I had a mug like a motherfucker. Oh, Big Daddy was slim there. They still call me Big Daddy, though. I gotta be careful, though, man, because I'm damn near Fat Daddy. Y'all laughing. I lay heavy, but I go deep. Oh, Delicious got a smile, man. I'm gonna tell y'all a joke, man, and I'm gonna end this thing, man. I love telling jokes because I like laughing, man. You know, man, you people being the mean and shit, man, and everybody's sad and people, you know, and when I come to a convention, I'm so open-minded, man. I love everybody. I'm talking, I don't give a fuck who said. When I sit in a mean, man, I come to get something. My mind opens straight up because I want to hear something. I don't come in critiquing nobody, sharing and all that shit. If this was how it worked for you, great, if your ass still clean. Some people, motherfucker, mild and minded and humble and shit. And you know, and then people think because you quiet, your ass goddamn humble. Your ass might be thinking about blowing up everybody in here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Fucking quiet because you're a straight serial killer. Who I'm going to kill tonight? You know what I'm saying? You know? Matter of fact, when I first got clean, shit, y'all made me think, because I still had a little money, you know what I'm saying? In my area, when I got clean back in 91, man, I'm the only one that had a cell phone. That motherfucker about this big, but I had one. I ain't bullshitting. Hey, look here. I had a motherfucking long-ass Fleetwood Cadillac with a canary motherfucker top with the Rosewood square with the reversible ace on that motherfucker. I blocked everybody in because y'all had to see that Cadillac. I walked in the motherfucker me. What you say? You say something, Big Daddy? Delicious. Delicious, my time up. Okay, I tell my joke. Hey, I'm gonna tell my joke right quick. Hey, check this out. Wife and husband in the backyard, right? I told this before. I ain't told this since Mammy, though. Wife and husband in the backyard. And the wife bent over, right? They finna barbecue. And he looked at all that ass. He said, "Baby, your ass wider than that grill." She gone, boy, gone. He said, "I ain't lying." He went and got in the garage and got a measuring tape and measured that big ass and shit. And said, "Baby, I told your ass wider than that grill." So that night, right, he was in there, little stuff started jumping and shit. He messed with it, right? "Come on, baby, come on, baby." She gone now. He said, "Come on, baby, come on, baby." He said, "Gone now." She said, "Come on, baby, come on, baby." She looked at him and said, "You want me to fight this big old grill off for that little bit of wiener?" We do recover, y'all. We do recover, y'all. We do recover, y'all. I'm Big Daddy Anthony P. from Atlanta.